Born in 1749, by the age of 23, Edward Jenner was a practicing local doctor and surgeon living in Berkeley near Gloucester. But his interests were much wider than his routine surgery. He was fascinated by bird habits. Jenner was one of the first to suggest birds migrated from the UK through the winter, returning the following summer. He also studied the nesting patterns of cuckoos. He established for the first time it was the baby cuckoo, rather than the adult bird, that pushed the other eggs out of the nest. This research brought him the greatest honour that could be given to a scientist. In 1789, he was elected a Fellow of the Royal Society. But it was his work on smallpox that had the greatest impact on the world. Smallpox was the most feared of diseases. It killed roughly 400,000 Europeans a year in the 18th century, including 5 reigning monarchs. Young people were particularly vulnerable. 4 out of 5 children infected died of the disease. Once the infection had taken hold, it was untreatable. If the victim were lucky enough to survive, they'd be left disfigured with ugly pitted scars, particularly on the face. Jenner called it the speckled monster. In May 1796, Jenner was visited by Sarah Nelms, a dairymaid, who had a rash on her hand. He diagnosed cowpox, which was far less serious a condition than smallpox, and he saw an opportunity to test if there really was any truth in an old country saying, "Dairymaids don't catch the smallpox if they've already caught the cowpox." For his experiment, he chose James Phipps, the 8-year-old son of his gardener. He made a few scratches on one of James's arms and rubbed in some of the residue from the dairymaid's cowpox rash. Jenner recounts the results in his diary.
On the 7th day, he complained of uneasiness in the axilla, and on the 9th he became a little chilly, lost his appetite, and had a slight headache. But by the 10th day, James was perfectly well.
He'd established that cowpox could pass from person to person, so now Jenner set out to see if the one pox would provide immunity against the other.
In order to ascertain whether the boy, after feeling so slight an infection of the system from the cowpox virus, was secure from the contagion of the smallpox, he was inoculated the 1st of July following with variolous matter immediately taken from a pustule. Several slight punctures and incisions were made on both his arms, and the matter was carefully inserted, but no disease followed. Several months afterwards, he was again inoculated with variolous matter, but no sensible effect was observed on the constitution.
James had become immune to smallpox. There were hostile reactions to Jenner's groundbreaking discovery. There were religious objections and some superstitious fears, including the idea those vaccinated might grow a cow's head, something the cartoonists of the day made the most of. Academic peers criticised Jenner for his trial and error approach, but his practice was rapidly adopted across the world, and Jenner became busy answering letters and giving advice about the vaccine. For a time, he was the vaccine clerk to the world. It was some time after Jenner's death in 1823 that the immense significance of the smallpox discovery was officially recognised. It took until 1853 for Parliament to make vaccination against smallpox compulsory. It was a controversial decision that led to an outcry over freedom of choice that continues even today. But by 1980, the World Health Organization was finally able to announce the worldwide eradication of this terrifying disease. Smallpox is dead, it declared. As a tribute to Jenner's work, the technique of introducing material under the skin to produce protection against disease became universally known as vaccination, derived from vacca, the Latin name for cow. Edward Jenner, bird specialist and father of immunology, helped save countless lives and alleviate immeasurable misery across the world.
To find out more about the remarkable Edward Jenner, you might like to visit the Jenner Museum in nearby Berkeley. To return to the main menu, stay on the line, or hang up and ring back when you're ready to listen to another story.